Alan Crita from the New York Times joins us to discuss. Alan, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well, Alan. It was interesting today reading John Tavares' comments that, you know, I don't know what the situation is, and honestly, to me, it's personal. It doesn't really matter. But Hamonic's teammates are really standing behind him, which shows, A, to me, how much respect he has, and, B, that this is obviously something serious, that the players are understandable that a guy who plays the most minutes on their team on the blue line, who takes the toughest minutes and, you know, the toughest matchups, has to leave for family first. I guess fill us in on number one priority for the Islanders is to try to find another Travis Hamonic. I'm not sure that's possible. So what else would they accept, you think, in a deal if it isn't a legitimate defensive defender like Hamonic?
As hard as that would be to replace, that's true, and they would probably want some level of offensive firepower they could add to John Tavares' wing or both. I mean, he needs help, it seems, constantly on his top line, and it's been a work in progress for him to have those line mates that, like a Toews and Kane, like a Malkin and Crosby. He hasn't quite had the wingman he really needs, so maybe that is what the Islanders could angle for in lieu of a top-flight defenseman, which is hard to find, especially now that the season's off and running and the teams are figuring themselves out. For the most part, the timing is a bit odd for all this. Obviously, a family situation takes precedence over everything, but it still puts the Islanders in a tricky spot, and Garth Snow has to make the best deal, but now it's out there, and his leverage has to be affected, and it's just tricky. And they do have some young talent in Bridgeport, the Islanders. Ryan Pulock, probably at the top of that list, but still, you can't just inject a rookie into that top spot that Hamonic has had for these years and expect instant dividends. So it's the Islanders need to make the playoffs this year to make their Brooklyn move viable. They have to prove to the new fan base or the attempted new fan base that they're real. And last year wasn't a mirage. And this kind of stuff can only just make it harder for John Tavares, just make it harder for Kyle Okposo. They have enough pressure on them. And now to have to worry about this team-wise, is a tricky one. It doesn't get easy game by game for them, and what they get in return is such a mystery, but I find it hard to believe they'll be able to pry a number one or two defenseman off of anybody's roster at this stage, since just about every team is still in something of a playoff hunt.
Yeah, Alan, good point. You know, we've been discussing this since the story came out yesterday, and the assumption at this end is, well, Snow doesn't want a bunch of maybes or a bunch of spare parts. He can't take it. He needs a guy who can take some of those minutes. But you've suggested that if he can get a guy who can take some of those minutes, not necessarily to the level Hamonic has, but also get a forward that could play in the top six, you know, maybe there's something to do there. Brings us back to Edmonton, one of the teams in that cluster that's been talked about geographically for Hamonic. When you look at this forward group and you're Garth Snow and you know the Oilers want Hamonic, what's your ask out of that forward cluster for Hamonic, what you would consider fair value given what you know about this player?
Maybe a Jordan Eberle fits in there. I mean, there's so many good offensive players we all know on the Oilers. Some of them obviously not expendable, but maybe a Jordan Eberle is one who could fit. The Islanders certainly like these fleet playmaking forwards, and they don't know what Kyle Okposo's future is as well. I mean, he becomes a free agent. His status is unknown at this time, so they could be facing two major losses from their roster. So they have to think about that. And Ryan Strome somehow now mysteriously in Bridgeport, another factor. So there's almost a desperation, I would think, at some level for them to replace some offense over some defense. And the Oilers certainly have a preponderance of offensive weapons, need the defense. So that type of trade perhaps is viable.
Alan, the Islanders are an interesting team. And, you know, Hamonic, I want to get into his play a little bit. He plays the most minutes on the team. He only has 3 points. And some people would look and say, oh, he's just a pure defensive defenseman. That's really kind of what his role's been. He gets a ton of D-zone starts. He faces tough competition, but he does have some offensive capabilities, but he doesn't face any power play time with Boychuk and Leddy, right? It's not that he can't produce offense. His role on that team right now with other offensive guys is to be that dedicated shutdown D guy.
He is, and that's so key. I mean, Boychuk and Leddy are a tremendous top pair, but they seem to be thought of much more in the offensive-defensive mode. The Islanders, aside from Hamonic, really don't have that sort of bruising big defenseman that just takes the other team's top players out. I mean, obviously there's only a Zdeno Chara very rarely, but they just don't have the monster defense that winning teams need. And even what the Blackhawks have done with so many mobile defenses, they always seem to have the size too. And certainly out west, you see the size with the Kings, seeing it with the Ducks. So that's been a missing sort of link for them. They have Thomas Hickey. They have Zdlicky. They have these sort of smallish, offensive, pretty good defensive defensemen, but just not the size. So he plays a huge role for them, sort of spiritually and defensively. And he's been there so long. The younger players definitely look up to him. He's a role model in so many ways off the ice. So he's a valuable guy. He's grown up with this team. Tavares and Oposo have been there a similarly long time. And these guys have grown together. They've been through some tough times together. So I'm sure it's not easy for them to even think that he will leave. So I think there's kind of a human element to this that's also going to be felt if and when such a trade takes place.
Alan, fans and media guys love to play armchair GM. And, you know, Gar Snow's done some terrific things there. Leddy Boychuk day goes down in history as one for me. But you talk about them needing an offensive player. Why is Strome on the farm? What's happening in that situation? Are they hardballing this kid somehow? Or has there been any kind of breakdown there? I just don't get it.
I think it was, from what we sense, is something of a work ethic issue. I mean, he certainly put up the numbers last year. There was no indication there was any kind of problem. He started the season on the top line with Tavares, and then suddenly they decided he needs more time, more conditioning, more something in Bridgeport. I know they run the ship the same tight way down there as they do with the Islanders. They try to keep the thread going between all parts of the organization, so they seem to feel he needs some sort of boost in the work ethic area. It's strange, strange timing. And it certainly, once again, there was a player on the top line to start the season that sort of vanished weeks in. Last year it was Corey Konecker, started the season on Tavares' flank, and he disappeared. It happens sort of all too often with players playing with John Tavares, between Matt Molson and Vanek and Konecker. I mean, it just goes on and on, and it's kind of odd. And I'm sure he sometimes wonders, you know, why don't I have dedicated line mates that stay with me throughout an entire season? Kyle Oposo, a great player, but he seems to be better sort of leading the second line and not necessarily linked with Tavares at all times. So there's definitely that missing link offensively, and the Strome thing, just the mystery deepens. I mean, no one thought he'd be not on the team at this point in the season.
It's a great question by Robin, because to me, that's the one. Here's a guy who everybody thought, okay, you know, he might struggle and get demoted off Tavares' line, but maybe get demoted to the third line. Like, I know when Josh Bailey struggled, that's kind of what they did. Is this a guy that, because the Hamonic deal might be too difficult to be a one-for-one. Do you think it becomes a bigger deal and potentially involves a guy like Dylan Strome, who for whatever reason maybe has fallen out of the good graces of the Islanders?
Could be. Certainly could be. That would certainly answer also the defense-offense. Would create a situation where you'd certainly get both elements back. Change of sceneries, sometimes spark a player for whatever reason. That's certainly not impossible. I mean, this is kind of mysterious, but he's still such a young player. It's hard to imagine they've given up on him. Jack Capuano, the Islanders coach, definitely wants a certain type, certain brand of player in his lineup. We've seen it over and over again. I mean, the fourth line is among his favorites. They've stuck together. Cizikas, Martin, Clutterbuck, that type of working, gritty, in-your-face hockey is what they pride themselves on, and that's the kind of player he wants. for whatever reason, Ryan Strom not fitting that model right now. And I wouldn't be shocked at this point if he would be included in a bigger trade. It would turn into something of a blockbuster at that point. If you're talking about that kind of talent going west somewhere out there. So we'll see.
Oh, one quick one for you. Did Gar Snow, do you get any sense, like the fact that this has come out public now, and we know that, this trade request was asked for in the summer, is Gar Snow going to rush this? Is he being very patient? Do you sense Harmonic Side was the one who kind of helped have this become public because they'd like it to be finished sooner than later?
That seems to also be the sense. I mean, Travis said today he's ready to accept this may take all season. It may not happen this season. He's playing hard every game. This doesn't change anything. But certainly this can't be an easy situation for Garth Snow. We're just a quarter of the way into the season, a very important season for the organization in their history. So to have such a distraction, I mean, short of an injury keeping a player out for this season where they're sort of hurt and rehabbing and they're not part of the scene, but to have this player out there every night, having to deal with these questions every night, having him being asked about it, it can't be easy. It can't be pleasant. And whatever is a difficult situation for Travis Hamonic has to be distracting him too. So it seems like a lose-lose all around until it gets resolved one way or the other. It's just so the timing is peculiar. And it seems like if the trade request was made so much earlier, why not get it done before the season starts and avoid all this type of hysteria? Because the fans can't be happy. Social media takes off in every direction. No one truly knows the facts of the case. So there's all this guesswork, and it's still someone's life and family seemingly at the top of it. So it certainly is more important than any game, but the games still have to go on, and the season has to go on, and the team has to perform. And somewhere along the way, that has to be balanced out with reality.
Alan, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. We'll keep reading your stuff at New York Times. Thanks.
I appreciate it. Thank you.